A Pentecost Sunday Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan on June 11, 2000, entitled Fire from Heaven. The texts for the sermon are Joel 2, verses 28 through 32, and Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. Copyright Grand Valley State University.
It was as this, as the past century was about to dawn, that there was a significant event in Chicago, just down the lake. On the shores of Lake Michigan, there was created the Columbian Exposition. Some of you might have been there. 1893 was the date. I was not aware of the tremendous dimension of that event, the Chicago World's Fair. But on the shores of Lake Michigan, 1893, there was created what they called the White City. The great architects of the country vied for the right to design that city. Now, this exposition covered some 644 acres. And as you came from the lake or along Lake Shore in Chicago, you were met with this gleaming white city, resplendent buildings, a reflecting pool, the triumphal arch. All of it was made sort of like out of plaster of Paris or paper mache. There were steel ribbons for the shape, but it was not a lasting kind of creation. It was the sort of thing you do for a fair, an exposition, a temporary display. But it was magnificent. It had the grandeur that was Greece and the glory that was Rome. And it was the celebration of the coming to this continent of Christopher Columbus, the Columbian Exposition, they called it. And it was full of all of the daring and all of the boldness and all of the greatness and self-assurance of the American spirit at the end of a century, looking forward to the 20th century, which would be the American century, in which the American spirit would dominate the world, obviously, in the providence of God. There was, to look at it in retrospect, a great deal of hubris, a great deal of human pride, but there was a great vision. The Cosmopolitan magazine of March 1893 had on the cover a bundle of sticks. It's called the fasces, a Roman symbol for authority that the magistrates had paraded before them, a bundle of sticks bound with a cord and an axe. And on each one of the sticks was written a name of a denomination, obviously all being bound into one. And there was a ribbon that tied the bundle, which said the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. And there was an American eagle with his sharp eye guarding it all, who had in his beak a twisted ribbon on which was written intolerance. The centerpiece of the Columbian Exposition was the first world parliament of religions. And the planners brought to Chicago religious leaders from all around the globe. There were Hindus and Buddhists and Shinto priests and Catholic priests and Baptist preachers and Buddhist monks, you name it. The 10 great religious traditions of the world were represented in this first ever Parliament of Religions, which was dedicated not to the snuffing out of the respective religions, but rather a banding together of all the religions against all irreligion. I don't have time to read to you some of the statements at the opening of that exposition, and particularly its centerpiece, the Parliament of Religion. But they are statements that were filled with idealism, filled with hope, filled with a vibrant spirit that humankind was on the very threshold of realizing the kingdom of God. That was at the beginning of the 20th century. The exposition opened, or closed rather, in October. There was an economic downturn, and the conditions of those who had served as waiters and cleaners-uppers and all kinds of personnel in this great exposition all summer found themselves without work. Many of them became homeless and found in this temporary exposition, now abandoned, a place to find shelter. This spectacular white city in January of 1994, because of those who were finding shelter there and making a fire to keep themselves warm, a fire which got out of control, the whole white city on a night was reduced to dust and ashes. It may have been an omen of what was to come. For all of the hopes and all of the dreams that were gathered together in that exposition and in that Parliament of Religions, and a great closing ceremony at which was sung America and the Hallelujah Chorus by a 500-voice chorus, the fusing together of the heavenly city and the earthly city, all of those hopes and all of those dreams which envisioned a future unlimited, were shortly brought to grief as the world entered into the First Great World War, and then the Second Great World War, and then the Holocaust, and the horror in our own memory of that awful event, and those wonderful dreams of humanity, of oneness, of unity, which of course were all under the auspices of the American spirit and a kind of benevolent, liberal, white Protestantism, nevertheless came to grief. The magazine, the journal to which I still subscribe, the Christian Century, was named at this particular period the Christian Century because the 20th century was to be the Christian Century. And then it all came to grief. So that there was a group of theologians in the 60s who became known as the Death of God theologians. And Professor Harvey Cox from Harvard, who was here recently with us, wrote a book at that time that became a bestseller, The Secular City. How do you find God in a culture totally secular, a culture in which some of the leading scholarly opinion is that God is dead? From that exuberant hope and idealism at the end of the century before to the middle of this century, the past century, the despair. Harvey Cox, who wrote The Secular City, has a more recent book, just a couple of years out, in which he is entitled Fire from Heaven, which documents the great white city and the hopes of the Parliament of Religion, but says at the same time there was in Los Angeles among the poor, in a totally down and out district, in an abandoned warehouse, an outbreak of spiritual enthusiasm and power. 1906, among uneducated, many illiterate, poor folk, under the leadership of a black pastor, the movement that has become known as the Pentecostal movement. The stark contrast between the white city, the parliament of religions, the aspirations for a unity and oneness for all humankind, sort of under an American Protestant Christian banner, brought to dust and ashes. And in a few decades, coming to expression in the death of God. And this little movement no one noticed, from people about whom no one had ever heard, issued a movement called the Pentecostal Movement, which is alive and well today at the end of the 20th century and moving into our own present 21st century. Harvey Cox acknowledges that he took the analysis of the death of God theologians too seriously, and that while the hopes of those great leaders at the end of the 19th century have come to nothing, God was doing a work among an obscure people, beginning a movement that encircles the globe today. So instead of the secular city of the 60s, Harvey Cox's latest book is entitled Fire from Heaven. Because finally, the present and the future are not left to human ingenuity and human planning, but rather we wait upon the Spirit of God. It's a fascinating historical retrospective. And I would say only this, that it's very easy 100 years later to mock the planners of the World Parliament of Religions and the hopes and the dreams of the White City. It's easy enough at this point to recognize human pride, human naivete. It's easy enough to put them down for what was nonetheless a magnificent dream. It was naive in that in its speaking of Pentecost, the arrival again of Pentecost is the language in which they spoke. They were really seeing the blossoming of liberal Christianity. And they were naive to think that somehow or other we, humankind, can plan and shape and determine the landscape of the future. But let's give them credit. It was a magnificent dream. And what the horrors through which we have passed in the 20th century have taught us is perhaps a touch of humility and then the recognition of a diversity which is not to be put into a blender and homogenized into some kind of bland human formula, but a diversity that is representative of the depth of the human spirit, that is representative of the diversity of the human creature, that is a reflection, we would say today, of the intention of the Creator. Oh, we can put down those dreamers of yesteryear, but they had a great dream. And what we have had to go through in the horror of war and Holocaust and the globalization of our human experience is the recognition of a grand menagerie of human creatures, of a grand rainbow of human personality and human being. We have come, I think, today to celebrate and to rejoice in the diversity, which is not an obstacle to be overcome, but a creative wonder to be rejoiced in. And as we recognize that diversity, we just may be in a better position to begin to realize the hopes, the dream, acknowledging all of its naivete and all of its human pride, nonetheless, the dream of a world that is one, and a humanity that is living in peace, giving to each one dignity, and acknowledging that God, that deep mystery, who is the ground of our being and source of our life, that God who is beyond each of our traditions, but present in each through God's breathing, God's Spirit, we just may be on the threshold of a new wonderful age for humankind who've come to give up their dreams of dominance and their fear of the other, ready to join hands with all of those who are other, whether through race, religion, ethnicity, education, economic status, sexual orientation, whatever it may be, to look at the other and not to be afraid, but to embrace in an unconditional love that recognizes in each one the image of the God who is beyond us, but on Pentecost came to dwell within us, and finally, to make us one.